is produced by the Living Church of God.
Who, what is the Antichrist? Do you understand the nature of this evil force, this evil man, or this evil teaching? How can you spot this Antichrist? How can you resist it? How can you overcome? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith examines who is the Antichrist. Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Over the century, millions have wondered about the Antichrist. Many think the Antichrist is an evil man. Others think the Antichrist is the great false prophet described in Revelation chapters 13 and 19. How can you be sure? The genuine answer, my friends, does not come from human speculation or imagination. The real answer comes from the clearest statements in the inspired Word of God. That's where the answer is, not from our imaginations or the imaginations of theologians during the Dark Ages. Go get your Bible. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. That's what I ask you to do. That's my challenge to you in all these programs. We prove to you what we're saying on this program, and I want you to prove these things to yourself. First of all, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. This is called the Olivet Prophecy, because it was the prophecy Jesus Christ gave on the Mount of Olives about the evil things, the terrible things, I should say, that were going to happen just before His second coming and how He was going to return to this earth. Notice Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3 in your Bible. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" They weren't asking Him just about the fall of Jerusalem, but the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." That was the first warning He gave. Don't let anyone fool you. And He went on to say here, and in Matthew 7, and in many other places, and the whole New Testament is filled with it, that there would be a great wave of false prophets. Not true prophets, but false prophets using Jesus' name to deceive people. Notice, He said, "For many will come in My name, saying, 'I am Christ.' They will tell you Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, and they will deceive," what? A few idiots off in some corner, or some oddballs out on the hills, or in some cave somewhere. No, they will deceive many. And everywhere you read about it in the New Testament, you'll find that it is the many who are to be deceived. As I've told you over and over, back in Revelation 12 and verse 9, God speaks about Satan the devil who has deceived the whole world. That's right, the whole world. And so false ministers were to come, and they were to teach a different way than what Christ taught. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 at this point. Matthew 7, this is the latter part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to Me in that day," that is when Christ comes back and there's a judgment, "'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in Your name?'" Oh, yes, they've talked about Christ. They use His name. "Haven't we preached in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonders in Your name?" And they'll say, what will Jesus say? "And then I will declare to them," that is the majority of these people who do these things, "I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's quite a statement. And I ask any of you ministers out there to open your minds and hearts. This means you too. You can be helped to come out of that deception before it's too late, if you're willing. So let's understand and open our minds and open our hearts to God's truth. I know that many are taught these things from childhood, and they grow up sincerely believing wrong things. Notice what your Bible says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and beginning in verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus. Oh, another Jesus? Yes. They talk about Christ, but it's not the Christ of the Bible. It is another Jesus. And God in heaven inspired the Apostle Paul to warn us about that right here. If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, a whole different attitude, a whole different way to approach God, which you have not received, or a different gospel. People talk about just give your heart to the Lord, and that's supposed to be the whole gospel today. Just give your heart to the Lord, believe on Him, and it's all done. Everything's all taken care of. And yet Jesus didn't say that. Peter, Paul, James, and John did not say that at all when you look in the New Testament. But people come along today with a different gospel. He says, if this happens, you may well put up with it. You emotional Corinthians, you might put up with that. What about you folks? Would you put up with that if people come along with a different Jesus, a different gospel? Well, many of you have put up with it, realize it or not. You may be deceived, and a deceived person doesn't know he's deceived, does he? Otherwise, he wouldn't be deceived. So try to open your minds and hearts and get undeceived, if that is the case with you, as it is certainly with most of you out there. Let's turn now to Jude chapter 1. Of course, there's only one chapter in Jude, so that won't be difficult. Jude, and let's begin reading here in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. Contend means to fight, to strive, to fight earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The true faith was delivered once for all. It wasn't to be monkeyed with. It wasn't to be changed around. It was given by Christ. It was given by Peter and James and John, the original apostles. And Paul did not change it all around. He did not do away with that original faith, that original way to approach God and have living faith, which teaches us to obey God. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, Jude was inspired to warn, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace, you see the mercy they come along talking about grace, who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They have a very clever way, under the influence of Satan the devil, to turn God's mercy for our past sins into an excuse to keep right on sinning. And saying you don't have to break or to keep God's law. You see, sin is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. It says in 1 John 3:4. And these men come along saying, well, you don't have to keep God's law because of grace. They turn grace into license. And of course, that is totally wrong. Now, remember last week, I proved to you that the one who was the God of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. He was that spirit personality. Notice again, briefly, I want to cover this just by way of review. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. It says here, they, that is all the ancient Israelites, drank of that spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, the rock of Israel, that rock who followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ is the one who guided them out of Egypt. Christ is the one who went before them in the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, who led them through the Red Sea, who led them around all over for 40 years, who led them up to the foot of Mount Sinai, and then Christ was the one who spoke the Ten Commandments, as we proved thoroughly in last week's program. He was the Rock of Israel. He's the one who spoke to Abraham and Moses. He's the one to whom David prayed and sang the Psalms that are written in the Bible. He's the one who spoke the Ten Commandments. They are His commandments. They're not the commandments of some old God the Father who's harsh and mean. The law proceeded from God the Father undoubtedly originally, but He and Christ are one. Jesus said in John 10, the Father and I are one. They together gave that law, and Christ is the one who directly gave it. He spoke it from the top of Mount Sinai because He was and is God, and He was the spokesman. He was the Logos. And He was the Rock of Israel who spoke the Ten Commandments. That law came from Jesus Christ directly. He's the one who gave it. He's the one who spoke it. Now let's notice back in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to cover here something that I've referred to before, but let's really get this. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. These were the original ministers, the apostles, James, Peter, and John, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Follow their faith. Follow their approach to God. Don't change it all around. Then he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, follow that same teaching. Follow that same approach that Jesus gave. Jesus is the same. He who was the God of Israel, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when Jesus Christ came in the flesh to be our Savior, did he do away with the Ten Commandments that he himself had spoken from Mount Sinai? Of course not. That's ridiculous. He did not do that, my friends. And any preacher or anyone else who tells you that is simply ridiculous, totally wrong, without foundation utterly, because the Bible says no such thing. Notice back in Matthew 19 now, if you would. Matthew chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. Here's what Jesus actually did say. Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But if you would enter life, he was asked the way to eternal life. He said, If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And even the young man asked, Which? And then Jesus began to name some of the Ten Commandments. He said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and so forth. He began to name some of the Ten Commandments. That's how you enter eternal life. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is the author of Christianity. He should know what to do. At this point, my friends, I want to urge you to call or write today for a tape of this very program, an audio tape. This will give you a chance to check up and prove these things even more thoroughly. You can study and listen to it in your car or wherever you want, and this tape will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. And with it, we'll automatically send you a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine entitled Tomorrow's World. This beautiful magazine contains powerful articles about prophecy, about the meaning of life, and about how to obtain God's blessing and God's protection in the perilous years ahead. So call today and request your free audio tape of this program.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And now back to our topic, who, what is the Antichrist? We were in Matthew 19, verse 17. Let's review that here just quickly. Remember, the young man came and asked Christ, How can I enter eternal life? How is the way to life? And Jesus answered, If you would enter into life, keep the commandments, and he began to name some of the Ten Commandments. We've just got through proving to you that Jesus was the same, or is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His basic teaching does not change. He simply came and magnified the commandments in the New Testament. He certainly did not do away with them at all, and neither did anyone else. Now let's turn to the beloved Apostle John's epistles. I want to comment on something here as we do that. Turn back to 1 John. Just before Jude in the book of Revelation, 1 John. And I want to remind you out there that there is a teaching in modern Protestantism, mainstream Christianity, that we're in a time of progressive revelation. That there was the idea that, you know, Jesus came and the ancient Jewish prophets didn't know much, and they had just a general idea seeking after some kind of a God out there. Then Jesus came and he talked about love and he made it better. But then the Apostle Paul came and he really made it better, because he did away with God's law, and all we have now is grace. And we're just under grace, and we don't really have to do too much. We just believe on the person of Christ. We just get sentimental. So things supposedly got better and better. But what they forget when they have this idea of progressive revelation is the writings of James, if you read the book of James, particularly chapter 2, and of course the writings of John, who is called the beloved apostle. He was Jesus' special friend among the apostles. He's the one who lay in Jesus' breast that last night at the time of the Passover, and the one Jesus had special regard for. Here is the writing, the epistle of the beloved apostle, John. What does he say, writing years after all the others? Does he get progressive? Does he do away with God's law? Notice, 1 John 2, and let's begin in verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him, we know God. How do we know God? If we keep his commandments, plural, there are 10 of them. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, plural, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's quite a powerful statement. I didn't say that. That's what the Apostle John says. That's been in your Bible all the time. He says, he who says, I know him, I know God, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, people or preachers may know about God. They may know the fact there is a God out there somewhere, but they don't know God. They don't understand God. They're not acquainted with God. They're not having a real relationship with God unless they do what? They don't know God unless they keep his commandments. Walking that way is a way of life. Now, the argument will come up from these preachers who believe the wrong way. They'll say, oh, well, you can't keep the commandments. That's right. You can't and I can't. But Christ will keep them in you through his Holy Spirit. And scripture after scripture shows us that. So what then do we have to say? We just have to say, wake up and obey the Bible. He says this. Notice verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, who obeys the Bible, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Not just believes on Christ, but keeps his word. By this we know that we are in him, or in union with him. And so we have to understand those basic things. Turn back now to verse 18. 1 John 2, and let's go over to verse 18. I'd like to read the whole chapter, I really would, but we have to hit the high spots here. I hope you'll read it all. He says in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is the first place where Antichrist is mentioned. And notice what he says. Antichrist is not just one person. Antichrist is actually, means opposition against Christ. And many people are guided by that spirit. Many antichrists have come, John said, with God's inspiration, by which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Many antichrists. So these were the people who were against Christ and yet obviously professed something about Christ, and undoubtedly we're talking about, as we talked about earlier, a different Christ, a different Jesus. Notice back now in 1 John 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatever we ask, John wrote, under God's inspiration, we receive from him, God the Father, he's talking about, we receive from God because we keep his, God's, commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Yes, that's right. That's what we're supposed to do. Now notice chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test these things that are supposed to give you revelations from God. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many, not a few, many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now that's something you need to think about carefully. Fully in the flesh. And I'm going to explain this to you. People talk about Jesus coming, but they don't really acknowledge he came fully in the flesh, as you shall see. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist does not acknowledge Jesus was fully in the flesh. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Yes, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, John was saying. And it does not confess that Jesus was fully in the human flesh. That's the whole problem. Let's turn back to Hebrews, if you would, for a moment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Here's what Paul was inspired to write here for us. Therefore, in all things, Christ had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. In other words, he had to be made like his brethren. He had to be fully human, tempted in all points like we are, so he could really understand, so he could be a merciful high priest and faithful in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. But in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, feeling the pulls of human nature, crying out to God for help, because he knew he was human, he knew he was weak, he could not resist apart from God's help, in that he suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or to aid those who are tempted. Yes, he was tempted just like we are. And we read over in chapter 4, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, those very words. Hebrews 4, verse 15. But we do not have a high priest right now. Jesus Christ is our high priest, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Christ was tempted just like us. And anyone who denies that and says, well, he kept the commandments, but he was different. He wasn't fully human. He was still God, and he didn't feel the pulls of the flesh like we do. That is the doctrine of the Antichrist, and you need to understand that, my friends. Really think about that. Let's turn to 2 John now. 2 John, I read you these scriptures about Antichrist in 1 John. Now let's pick it up in 2 John. 2 John, verse 5. And now I plead with you, lady, John writes, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you. He's not talking about some new doctrine, but that which we had from the beginning. He talked about the thing Jesus taught them from the beginning. And he said, if you had entered a life, keep the commandments, that we love one another. Then he explains, this is love. Notice, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. That's the way God's love is expressed, teaching us how to love God, how to love our neighbor. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, not a few deceivers, many deceivers have gone out who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. Notice this wording here, verse 7. These deceivers do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And here it is talking in the present participle or the present continuing tense. Look it up. It means has come, is coming, will come, the present continuous tense. And that's what it's talking about. Jesus coming now in the flesh. How does Christ come in the flesh? How can we keep his commandments? Because he comes in our flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're able to obey God. We're able to keep the commandments. We're able to do that which we were taught from the beginning by Jesus Christ, if we understand that and fully surrender to God. Now notice this. Many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming. Present continuous sense. He is now coming in the flesh. He did come 1900 years ago in the flesh. He will come later, not as in the flesh, but as King of Kings, but he's now coming in our flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Those who do not confess Jesus is coming now in the flesh, and that he will live his life in us. Look to yourselves that you do not lose those things we work for, but that you may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. You're not just to love Christ. Say, well, I just love the Lord and then go ahead and live your own life the way you want to. You're to have Christ teaching. You're to have Christ actually living in you. And he who does abide in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You're going to have Christ and God living in you. So if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine of Christ living in you, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. This is powerful teaching. It tells us about true Christianity. And again, I would like you to turn, as I've done before, to one of the basic scriptures in all the Bible about true Christianity, but certainly these others back it up again and again, Galatians 2 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the key. Christ lives in you and me through the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You need to really understand that. Again, write or call now for an audio tape of this very program about the Antichrist. This will give you a chance to check up and prove these things to yourself even more thoroughly. This tape will be sent absolutely free upon your request, and with it will automatically send you a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine entitled Tomorrow's World. This beautiful magazine contains powerful articles about prophecy, about the meaning of life, and about how to obtain God's blessing and God's protection in the years ahead. So call today and request your free audio tape of this program. You need this.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in to next week's Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful and insightful messages on biblical prophecy and on the real meaning of life. We will provide you answers that you can obtain nowhere else. And maybe you can understand that after today's program. So tune in next week at the same time for Tomorrow's World. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.